You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Gil Brandt joined us earlier, the Godfather. Lots of effusive praise for Johnny Manziel, the kind of competitor he is. He talked about some of the measurements that people might not be thinking of, shoe size, hand size, 10.5-inch hands, I believe he said, which he says will give him no problem in the cold weather of Cleveland.
That's thumb to fingertip. Yeah.
Thumb to finger, yes. And Johnny Manziel, we're going to talk with John McClain at 2 p.m. Eastern, but John McClain from the Houston Chronicle had the opportunity to sit down with Johnny Manziel and talk to the quarterback, who made some very, I thought, emphatic statements about the Texans, like if they don't draft me, it'll be the biggest mistake of basically their careers down there in Houston. But talked a little bit about the Browns as well, and these are some of the quotes, and we'll talk about them as the show goes on. Said, quote, if something happens and it's the Cleveland Browns, I'm going to pour my heart out for the dog pound and to try to win a Super Bowl for Cleveland. I don't care if they've had 20 starting quarterbacks since 1999. I'm going to be the 21st and the guy that brought them the Super Bowl.
Strong stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm good with that. I'm good with him saying that. Here's how I assess, though, the timing or the reason behind it. So there's always something behind this stuff. And this is an educated guess. I think I'm pretty solid on this. Johnny Manziel, like the rest of us, paying attention to the various rankings and discussion about quarterbacks and quarterback stock. And what's happening? More and more people are studying, as you are, as I am, studying what these guys did in their collegiate careers more thoroughly now than we did during the football season, even during the postseason, because our focus was on that, right? So coaches, along with, you know, the personnel people who obviously have been doing this right along, but really digging in, really getting opinions, and your situations, such as the one we have in Cleveland, revamped front office. I mean, everything where now Ray Farmer said this, the new general manager, some tweaking of the grading system that was put in place by Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi. It's Ray's show now, so it's going to be a little different, and that would likely bring, in my opinion, a different view of player talent, and that's just one location. Now we're talking league-wide. So you're Johnny Manziel, and you might be hearing that the Texans, who once seemed smitten with the idea of bringing you in, they've got Bill O'Brien as their new head coach. Maybe not so much anymore. Maybe it's a Teddy Bridgewater thought. Maybe it's a Blake Bortles thought. Maybe it's something other than you. Maybe Jadeveon Clowney is somewhere in the discussion too. And all of a sudden, you start to say, hey, it might not work out that I'm the top overall guy, so I just want to make sure everyone else in the league knows, and especially those that own picks near the top of the draft, a top five pick, and that are looking at quarterbacks, that I would be happy to go to their place. I don't want to have any doubt that the Cleveland Browns, or that I would have a doubt about going to the Cleveland Browns. They should have no doubt that I would embrace them fully. And I think he also senses, as I think others have and I've heard from others around the league, without Michael Lombardi making the call any longer or being part of the call any longer for the Browns draft pick, who was, by all accounts, a huge Manziel fan, that the winds have shifted, the tide has changed, and now things are different. So in his mind, he's trying to send out his message. And honestly, I don't know if it makes any difference. If he's there and rated by the Browns as someone they want to pick, sure, maybe they go for it. But I'm not so sure that is how the Browns are feeling, and I'm not so sure any team is necessarily overly enamored with him, thus the guy trying to make his political case.
Right, and listen, if one of the things that he is trying to do, and obviously is being advised to do, is kind of say, listen, let's get rid of the off-the-field distraction as a reason that somebody would not draft you. Let's just eliminate that from the discussion, because let's keep it based on what you could do on the field, your attitude, the type of winner you are, the type of leader you are. And I think, as we'll talk to John McClain at 2 p.m. about, it's clear that that's one of the things that he wants to do. He's even differentiating from Johnny Football and Johnny Manziel. So he's trying to say that that's kind of like a folk tale, a hero that's not me. I'm Johnny Manziel. I'm the guy that's going to fight until there's no time left on the clock. I'm the guy that's going to have to be dragged off the field before I stop playing for my teammates. That
sounds
Johnny
a lot
Manziel.
Like Adam Jones dropping the Pac-Man from his nickname. Not that their situations are that similar,
well,
but it
not
is.
Not done anything
the,
right. That is.
It's the context. I'm not talking about their behavior, but I'm talking about context because that was seen as a negative toward him.
Sure.
Manti Te'o, right? Taking Honey Badger out of his name.
Or Tyron Matthews.
Tyron.
Yes. Yeah. Manti Te'o got rid of Honey Badger.
I confused my two guys coming out of the draft last year.
Last year
Tyron
yes.
Matthew. Thank yeah. you.
Yes,
Nathan.
Of course. No worries. But, you know, as Gil said.
I'm in a sugar coma from Valentine's Day. Go ahead.
There you go. Gil also said, though, there are a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. And we know some of you guys want to talk about John Manziel.
Yeah.
Some of the other people, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Matt in Columbus now, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hello.
Hey,
I
Matt.
I'm not a Manziel fan. My question is, the kid from Georgia, I'm not educated on it. I just wanted to hear opinions about it. I know he has an ACL issue, but
Aaron Murray.
But before he was injured, I know he was one of the top SEC quarterbacks, and I saw something on his bowl game about touchdown record at Georgia or winning record, something like that. My idea is I believe we have a good decision maker with. No, not with Ray Farmer. I don't envy Ray Farmer in his position right now, but our quarterback that was hurt.
Brian Hoyer. You're talking about, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
you like his decision.
Brian Hoyer. I think he's a good decision maker. He can distribute the ball. And if we had a guy like a true pocket passer that we could get in a later round because of his injury, wouldn't he be a top five quarterback prospect if not injured?
That's a big if. He was tearing it up in the SEC, set most of the major passing records, but it's a torn anterior cruciate ligament that he suffered. What was it? Late November,
yep.
In the Kentucky game, and I remember that distinctly, Nathan. And remembering people saying then, this might be something that hurts his draft stock, but I'm not so sure. Even though he was putting up some outrageously great numbers in the SEC, and that's a competitive place to do that, I'm not positive, even without an injury, if his stock would have put him in the same category of some of the other players we're talking about as potential top five picks.
I agree with that, but I'll tell you what. I would not mind seeing the Browns do what the Redskins did a couple of years ago and draft two quarterbacks, and I wouldn't mind seeing Aaron Murray being that second quarterback that they draft later on in the draft, because I think that's where it looks like he's going to shake out. If it doesn't work, okay, no big deal, but I do think he has a little bit of upside. I know Gil Brandt, who was just with us, has said that he would use as a comparison for Murray, a Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, not because they're so good, but because they're smart, they're fighters who work hard, are accurate, don't have all the kind of measurables and intangibles you look for, but who can play the game at a high level. So he does like Aaron Murray. I know some others do as well, but again, this would be a late-round guy that you want to go in. In fact, the headline that Gil Brandt used last year would be he would be a middle to late-round steal for an NFL team, speaking of Aaron Murray.
Yeah, fourth round pick, I think, is where a lot of people have him projected.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to Justin in North Dakota now with us on CBD.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Helps keep me sane.
Thank you.
I got 2 points here. Hopefully we can get to both of them. I got to defend Haslam here. Now, Chudzinski's fate was sealed when Jason Campbell comes out, your starting quarterback comes out and says, we've given up. And he says it for 2-3 weeks straight. Now, Brian Hoyer stays healthy, Chudzinski ain't gone. And I also got to comment on my love for the idea of getting rid of Banner and Lombardi. Now, if you look at 2010 draft picks, under Holmgren, I know he gets a lot of flack here. Who's he picked first? We got Joe Hayden, T.J. Ward, two Pro Bowlers. 2011, we got Phil Taylor, solid. Jabal Sheard, leader in sacks. Jordan Cameron, Pro Bowler. Mitchell Schwartz, I'm not sure about. John Hughes showed some promise. Travis
yes,
Benjamin, Deshaun Gibson, and Josh Gordon. Now, why is it crazy to me that Banner and Lombardi are trying to, are considering a trade of him. 2013, under the new administration here, we got Mingo, who shows some promise, and Armani Bryant, who shows some promise. I just don't think, well, I'll say it this way. I love Haslam's move. I love his boldness. I'm sick of waiting 3 years to decide we got to get rid of these people.
You make, Justin, thank you for the call first and the kind words. Those are sound and solid points. You can't ignore, as easy as it is to beat up on every former administration, and what tends to happen, I'll take the tens out of it, what happens when you hire new people to run the team is that they lead the campaign, more or less, to bash the previous administration, to say that the cupboard that was left for us is a disaster, that we hate pretty much everything that they did, we disagree with everything that they did, and they get their message out. And this is not just something that Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi succeeded in doing to kind of get that point through the media, because they did. And even though you didn't necessarily hear from Michael Lombardi, you didn't hear from Michael Lombardi publicly, there are ways to communicate those thoughts. And you could do it with national media folks that you talk with, hush, hush, or you could do it with local media folks that you talk with, quote, hush, hush. That happens. And it happened with the previous administration, and it happens with, again, throughout the NFL. It's not a Browns thing, but unfortunately, it is a thing. And you then tend to start to look back at what happened and say, geez, these people, they couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, look at all the dumb decisions they made because the current administration said, we've taken a good look at this, and it's not good. They did a poor job. Except that, as you point out, you've got multiple Pro Bowlers, and the core, whatever you can refer to as a core for the Browns, and you can use that term loosely on a 4-12 football team and on a team that's won a grand total of 13 games in 3 years. Core is used loosely, but that's the core. The core is everybody that was brought in prior to this year. That's a fact. I mean, that is the fact. And we don't know what, if anybody else from this particular influx of talent from the free agency period of the previous year or from the draft is going to do anything. You used the right words, showed some promise for Mingo, showed some promise for Bryant, and then it's just question marks everywhere else.
Agreed, and that's what we got to hope those guys that showed promise take steps forward, and you hope that the guys that are part of that core remain part of the core here with the Cleveland Browns. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we're going to continue ranking this roster. Still to come, though, at 2 p.m., John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who sat down with Johnny Manziel, will join us, but we're going to get through this roster. We're going to go from number 30 to number 21, and that's coming up next here on ESPN 850 WKNR.